Sometimes for us to really understand healthy house church ministry, we have to understand what is unhealthy house church ministry. There's been a lot of house church ministry over the last 20, 30 years in the nations of the world. I mean, especially in my nation, that I personally feel has been unhealthy house church ministry. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Somebody's in a local church, a community church, a mega church, and they get angry at the pastor, and somehow they cause division, and they cause problems, and they leave the church, and they take that spirit with them. A wise man of God said many years ago, the seed that's in the first meeting of something new, first meeting of a new church or whatever it is, if there's a seed of unrest, of division, that seed will eventually sprout, that will destroy that new work. I've seen that happen again and again. So, in other words, people are reacting against somebody else or somebody else's vision. Or maybe they try to change their pastor, and they thought he should be doing a certain thing he's not doing. They said, well, we'll start our own church. It's division. There's no place for division in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of room for multiplication in the kingdom of God. But that's one area. Let me give you some other examples, or an example or two, of unhealthy house church ministry. That is when we say house church is the only way. This is what God's doing, whatever's going on, and whatever people are doing with their community church, their mega church, and God might bless them, but it's just secondary. That's just ridiculous. We need to do what God calls us to do. If God's called you a house church, you do house church with all your heart. You honor what God's doing with the rest of the body of Christ. You honor what God's doing in ministries. You honor what God's doing in churches of many different kinds and many different flavors. So I'm simply saying there have been unhealthy house churches. Another type of unhealthy house church has been when it's been led by leaders who were autocratic, dictatorial. They were just controlling people rather than releasing people. They may have called themselves fathers in the Lord, but they were dictatorial fathers in the Lord. They were not servant leaders the way Jesus has called us to lead. So there's a few examples. I just want to clarify that because many people say, well, I don't want to get involved in house church because I know people involved in house church where it was unhealthy, and so have I. And I say that was improper, it was wrong, it may have been sinful, the way it was handled, the way it was processed. But God, even though that's happened, God wants to raise up something fresh and something new with the right heart and with the right spirit. Now, as we've been talking about being spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers and planting house churches and all that entails, I want to talk to you about the inheritance that God has for us. This is what gets me up in the morning, is my love for Jesus, my love for my family, and the inheritance that I believe God is giving us. And I want to explain that to you. I want you to see that from Scripture. Just a few sessions ago, we looked at Abraham for a bit. I'd like to look at Abram again. And in Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17, because Abram is the father of many nations. And Abram is the father of faith. Abram believed God, and he placed it on his account for righteousness. The Bible says he accounted it for righteousness. This is faith. Abram is the father of faith in so many ways. And in Genesis 15, in verses 5 and 6, it's when God took Abram outside. He said, look at the stars. He said, look at the stars. He said, your children, your offspring, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, will be like the stars of the sky. Another time he took him out and said, your offspring will be like the sand of the sea, and that's what's going to happen. And so God was giving these promises to a man who was just alone with Sarah, his wife, and they couldn't have children. Here he is, 99, 100 years of age, an old man, and not having children. And then God promises them a child. And Sarah at first laughed. She thought, how could that ever be? We're so old. And yet God did it. He performed a miracle. But Abram believed the Lord. And we see that again in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, Abram believed the Lord. He believed the Lord for what? For children. He believed even though he didn't have children, he would see children. Now you might say, how does that apply to me? Well, maybe you're going to start a house church. And you have it in your heart, you say, could I ever be part of a house church network? Well, you might plan a house church network, but maybe you will not plan a house church. Maybe just be an obedient father or mother in the Lord. And then your spiritual children will do the same thing again. And their spiritual children will do the same thing again. And you'll have a great inheritance. Now, I love the scripture from the New Testament, referring back to the old, from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Listen closely. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now listen again. It says, if you belong to Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? I do, you do, we belong to Jesus. Then you're Abram's seed. We're part of Abram's seed. We're part of this seed of faith. He says, we're heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? Well, you see, of course, the promise of Jesus, our Messiah, who came through Abraham's lineage, of course. But there's something else here in Genesis we need to understand. Genesis 15 and 17, and Genesis 70, when he said, "This is my covenant with you, you'll be a father of many nations." What was he promising him? He was promising him family, promising him offspring, promising him children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. And the same thing is true spiritually for you. God wants you to realize that when you stand before the Lord someday, you don't want to stand there alone. You want to stand with your natural, of course, and spiritual children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, as far as the eye can see. That is God's call that's on your life. It's love Jesus with a passion, and then love your spiritual sons and daughters. Of course, our natural sons and daughters, our natural lineage, but also our spiritual sons and daughters. And again, if you don't have any natural sons or daughters, God's going to give you spiritual sons and daughters. If you've struggled in some relationships in your family, God still is a redeemer. He wants to bless you. He wants to take those burned stones and get you healed and get you set free. If you feel like you've been dropped and you've messed up or you dropped somebody else, God is a redeemer. You can trust Him. He takes that which was not, and He causes it to become something powerful for Him, because all things still work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose, and you are called according to the purpose of God. Now, do you see this promise in Galatians 3:29? This promise, heirs according to the promise, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. So, I'm Abraham's seed. This is a promise for me too, to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, both naturally and spiritually. Now, I want to show you from Scripture how this all plays out. So it's a wonderful Scripture. And you find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 7, Paul says, "We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." So he said, we're like a mama. We have a mama's heart for you. Then he says, "We loved you so much." In other words, he said, you weren't a project to us. Some people, they look at spiritual fathering, mothering, starting house churches as a project. Not a project. It's simply building a family. And here's what he said. "We loved you so much." There's a lot of love here. He said that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but we share with you our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us. Did you hear his heart? We're not talking about dictatorial leadership. We're talking about someone who says, I've got a mother's nurturing heart, El Shaddai, as we talk about spiritual mothering in another class. And he says this. He says, you become so dear to us. You mean so much to us. And then he said, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. So he says, look, he says, I'm like a father. First, I'm a mother. Now he said, I'm like a father to you. And he said, I dealt with you as a father deals with his own children. This is all about being a spiritual mama and a spiritual papa. Spiritual mother and being a spiritual father. And that's the call of God that's on your life. And then he says, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. He says, look, he says, I'm like a daddy to you, a father. I'm just encouraging you. You live a life that's worthy of God, so you can also be a spiritual father. You can also be a spiritual mother. And God's given the same call to you, and He's calling you into His kingdom to bring glory to Him. So this is for every generation. Then you go to the end of the chapter. Here He says clearly, I'm a spiritual mother to you, I'm a spiritual father to you. You go to the end of the chapter, and what does He say? He says, that was in verse 11 and 12, then 19 and 20. What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, when He comes? Let's just stop there. He says, what is our hope, our joy, our crown in which we'll glory in the presence of Jesus when He comes? In other words, when the Lord comes back, what is the Olympic gold medal? What is the joy, the crown, the glory? What are we looking forward to? Now, of course, it's to be with Jesus. We know that. But he says something different here that's added on to the importance of just loving our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the last verse, he says in verse 20, is it not you? Now, who's you? He said, I'm a spiritual father to you. I'm a spiritual mother to you. He said, it's you, my spiritual children. He says, the glory, the joy is going to be, I don't stand there alone. I stand with my spiritual children. He said this. He said, you are our glory and joy. He said, it's you, my spiritual children. Someday, you and I are going to stand before the Lord. Are we going to stand there alone? Are we going to stand with our spiritual children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Remember the promise to Abraham? As far as the eye can see, as the sand is in the sea, as the stars in the sky, so your offspring will be. That is the promise for you. People say, what's the call of God in my life? Am I called to be in business? Am I called to be a pastor? Am I called to be a fivefold minister? Should I be a missionary? Should I plant a house church? Those things are secondary. What's most important is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself and being a spiritual father, being a spiritual mother to this next generation. Because someday, we're going to all stand before the Lord. And we don't want to stand there alone. We want to stand with our spiritual posterity. You know, I was a young pastor, young speaker, and I travel sometimes. I meet people. They say, oh, I'm a grandpa, I'm a grandma. And they pull out their pictures and they show me their grandkids. And I was always nice. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. But I remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. Well, guess what? I do that. I do that today. I've got pictures on my phone and in my wallet because this is my posterity. It's my natural grandchildren. It's my posterity. God's given you a spiritual posterity. And that's the crown when we stand before the Lord. That's the Olympic gold medal. So, brothers and sisters, do not stand alone someday. Today's the day to prepare the way for spiritual children. I'll tell you one final story in this session. And that is when I was a young leader. I was in my 20s. And I remember I had a Bible study, just a spiritual father to some young men and young women. One of the young men, his name was Bill, he'd come to our house and we'd talk and we'd pray. And he was just a wonderful guy. Went into a ministry called Youth with a Mission. And God began to reuse him, met his wonderful wife there, and ended up going to the Caribbean. And today gives leadership to the Youth with a Mission in the Caribbean. And I remember, well, we come to my house and we pray about, you know, this relationship and girlfriends and all kinds of things. And this, it was just a joy just to serve him. He had a tremendous heart for God. And this time we were seeing some youth revival in our county, and we were just all part of this together. And just, it was wonderful. I didn't think much of it. I started having a Bible study, just hanging out with my friend Bill. Well, many years later, when I wrote one of my first books, House to House, somebody from the island of Barbados in the Caribbean had somehow got to the manuscript and read the story, and they said, we're experiencing the same thing that I had experienced years ago, where they saw people come to Christ and they started a new fellowship. And it was almost identical to what we had seen before. They called me on the phone, my friend Robert, and said, would you come to Barbados? Will you teach us and train us? How do you do these house fellowships? And we called them small groups and cell groups in those days. How do you do that? And spiritual following and all these kinds of things. So I ended up being on the island having this seminar. It's training weekend for leaders that came from different denominations and churches. And then I remember my friend Bill was there. And Bill was busy that weekend. He had sent me, a note. He said, I can't be there because I have another meeting, but I'd love to see you. Could you stop at my house and meet my family before you fly back to USA? So at the end of the time there, I went to his house and sat with his family. He's had a wonderful time. And he began to tell me what God was doing in that part of the world. And he talked about how that people who had come years and years ago, many generations ago, from Western Africa, the Gambia, were sent as slaves. It was a horrible, horrible slavery that happened. And it brought them there to the island of Barbados. But how about today, there are many generations later, many of, even though they came from Muslim backgrounds, they now were these people on the island who had been born, their posterity, or their parents, their great-grandparents, whoever, came from Africa. They were coming to Christ. And then he said, we're training them to send them back to Gambia to share Christ with people that could be their relatives. And that's the most amazing thing. God is so redemptive. It's amazing how God could do that. And then he said something that I can never forget to this day. He said, Larry, I want you to know that what's happening in West Africa is a part of your inheritance. I said, what do you mean? He said, because when I was a young man, I was a teenager. He said, you were a father to me. I didn't really think about it that much, but he said, yeah, you were a father to me, and this is some of your inheritance. And I'm in an airplane coming back. I'm thinking, Jesus, I had no idea. You know, I'm tearing up and saying, God, I actually have some inheritance of the Lord in Western Africa I didn't even know about. Because I was just trying to obey Jesus as a young man and be a spiritual father to a few young men in my community who were going much further in God than perhaps I could ever go. And I realize now I have some inheritance in Western Africa. But I want you to know something. That when I played that role in his life, I was not a pastor. I never even wanted to be a pastor in those days, honestly. I was a chicken farmer. But I was a chicken farmer who had a heart for young people and to be a spiritual father and to be a discipler. I call it a Paul-Timothy relationship where I could help others, those who are younger than me, fulfill God's purpose in their lives. And that's the call of God that's in your life. So regardless of your occupation, regardless if you're in a house church, in a community church, in a mega church, whether you plant a house church or not, the call of God in your life is to be a spiritual mother and a spiritual father. Because someday, you too, will stand before the Lord. And when we stand before the Lord, we don't want to stand alone. We want to stand with our spiritual children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren as far as the eye can see. Because that was the promise that was given to Abraham according to Galatians 3 and 29. That's also for us today that we can claim the same inheritance. And that inheritance is for you.